This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Baruch Haba, welcome everyone. We continue in Masechta Yevamos. We're up to Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. The Gemara asked the Sira because it said that if somebody sees a body and they testify about simanim on the body or on the kalim, you can't testify. That implies simanim are not conclusive. They're not deraisa. The Gemara says stira, but it says if the shliach finds a get in a purse, in an arnaki, in a money belt, in a ring, or among his kalim, he could use that as proof that it's the get that he was supposed to deliver. So we see simanim are deraisa. The Gemara says no, it could be it's machlokes Reb Elazar ben Mahavai and the Rabbanan, because Reb Elazar ben Mahavai says you could be made on a shuma. So don't they argue whether simanim are deraisa? And the Gemara brought different lashonos. The first one is that the machlokes is whether simanim are deraisa or not. Then Rabbah said everyone says simanim are deraisa. The question is whether a suma is could be replicated if the guy is ben gilai. Bottom line is, we're now delving into the first lashon of Rava. The Gemara says, "Olahach lishna." We're on the second line, "Kuf chafam abeis." Olahach lishna, d'amar Rava, simanim d'iraisa. And according to the lashon that Rava said, that simanim are biblical. According to that lashon that Rava said, simanim are biblical, meaning everyone agrees. L'kulei amas simanim are d'iraisa. But it says in the Mishnah that you can testify based on simanim on his body or kelim. But I thought simanim are deraisa. Says Gemara, there's simanim or simanim. Yeah, it's my wallet. How do I know? How do you know? Because it had money in it. Oh, whoa! What a good simon, right? Some simanim are so generic. You know, it's like that bad Sheva Bracha speech. We're here today to celebrate the marriage of Reuven and Rachel, and marriage is based on giving, and they should build a bayit. You know, it's so sappy. It's, you know, the guy didn't even prepare. He just Googled Sheva Bracha's Torah, and so there's simanim, but these are not conclusive simanim. I just came back from a Sheva Bracha, so that's why I'm bringing that as an example. Somebody called me to a Sheva Brachas. I said, call me 1 minute before benching. You know, I got to prepare the shir. So anyway, so the Gemara says, simanim are not necessarily conclusive. You know why? Because he says that gufay da'arech v'gutz. What? The body, meaning the body, he said that the guy was tall or short. Kalev, when he talked about the kalim, even though he gave more conclusive simanim, but the chayshin and the she'ela, just because he says these are his, because kalim, you can't testify that this person died based on the kalim that he was wearing, the clothing, because maybe he borrowed someone's jacket. Says the Gemara, really? There's such a possibility? There's a concern that you might borrow something. How could you return a donkey by someone giving identifying simon about the saddle? But maybe the owner of the donkey borrowed the saddle. Right now that we say that there's a possibility that somebody borrowed something, so then how is borrowing? How could you return a lost item? Let's say a donkey based on the saddle. Maybe the saddle was borrowed. Says Gemara, Loi shayli inchi uchbay. People don't borrow a saddle. Demiskivle lechamra. It causes it. It's abrasive. It's gonna rub the donkey. So a personal item like a toothbrush or undergarment, that you might borrow. But for yourself, for your donkey, you're not going to borrow a saddle. Says the Gemara, but by the case of get, we said that if you found the get kosher bekis tied up in his wallet of arniki or in his purse of a tabas or his ring, hechi madrinan, how could you return it? But maybe the get is not his. Maybe it's maybe the wallet or a purse or a ring was borrowed. I understand you're not going to borrow a, you're not going to lend a saddle of a donkey, but these other items might be lent, might be borrowed. Says Gemara, no. Tabas chay shalziyuf, you're not going to lend a signet ring. Somebody might forge with it. Kisva arnechgi, a wallet, we're talking about an empty wallet. People were very superstitious about that. Menachshi inshi, people are superstitious. Veloy mushli, and they're not going to lend out a wallet. V'ibayiseiman, if you want, you could say, Kalev b'chiyuri v'sumki. We're really not worried somebody would borrow Kalem. And that's why you could return a donkey based on the saddle. We're not worried somebody would borrow something. However, the reason why the simanim on the guy's kalim are not conclusive is because they gave very generic simanim, namely bechivari v'sumki, white or red. They just gave a color, and therefore it's totally not conclusive. Now this is very interesting. We're gonna need the help of our team of physicians for this Gemara. Maybe just explain to us how, let's say somebody has a severed artery or blood vessel, could that be cauterized and the person be saved? I mean, what does that even mean? Could you burn an edge of an artery? So can you explain that?
So anytime I'm doing surgery, there are times where you have to cut a vessel to get to what's under it. And not every vessel is required to be connected. Typically arteries, yes, but veins, no. But if you cut an artery, what you do is you burn the edges and the tube collapses upon itself. So if there's a hole and you burn it, it closes and collapses.
But doesn't the blood need to go somewhere? I mean, in an artery?
No, it stops. It stops at that, where that clot.
Okay, so where was it going? I mean, doesn't it have to circulate throughout the body?
So if it's a big vessel, such as your aorta or a big artery going down the leg or something like that, then if you sever it and you don't reconnect it, then and there's no other arteries that can the musculature and the vessels, then the limb will die off. So when somebody gets an aortic aneurysm, for example, their artery pops that's in their chest going down the body. So usually you don't catch it in time. Those people die because they bleed out. But during surgery, or like somebody, like we've got a lot of cases, people, they get run over by a train and the leg gets chopped off. But at the speed and the heat that happens, it burns all the arteries. Soldiers, this is a very common thing, that soldiers that were in like an Iraqi war and Afghanistan war, if they step on a landmine, their leg gets blown off. But why did they bleed to death? Their arteries are all exposed. Because it burns everything, and those arteries kind of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
But during surgery, if you cut an artery or a vessel, you can just cauterize it. Many times it needs to be repaired, but not every time you have to repair every vessel that
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. That was brought to you by the Medical Association of San Diego. Okay, thank you. So, the Gemara, the Mishnah said that even if you saw somebody with a mortal wound, you cannot testify that they died. We're referring to that as meguyad, someone with a mortal wound. Says the Gemara, "Lememra de beguyad chai." That implies that someone who has a severed, a mortal wound, could live. Rashi translates meguyad as goydu ilanu, cut. That somebody who has a serious, severe sever that implies in the Mishnah that the person could live. Uraminu, we're going to ask a stira, because it says in Nazir, this is quoted in Nazir, it's a Mishnah in Oyhalais. Adam eino metame shetetz nafsho. A person does not contaminate until his soul departs. Afilu meguyad. Even if he is severed, even if he has a mortal wound. Vafilu goyseis. Even if he's in the throngs of death. Which implies, okay, we know he's going to die. Timui lo metame. He's not metame yet. Hamechaye lo chaye. But he's not going to live. Because he's not dead, but he will die. So here it says meguyad will die. Amar Abai like Kasha Rav Shimon Elazar Rabbanan Tzmach like his Tanar. One is Rav Shimon Elazar, one is Rabbanan Tanya. Meiden al Maguyad. You're allowed to testify at someone who has a mortal wound. Ve'in meiden al Atzol. You can't testify about someone who is hung. That's the position of the Rabbanan. You could be made on a Maguyad because he's definitely going to die. But Rav Shimon Elazar, who we are saying is the Tan of our Mishnah, Rav Shimon Elazar Oimer, Afal Maguyad Eimid. You can't testify on somebody who has a severed limb. Or not a severed limb, but someone who has something severed, a mortal wound. Mivnei sheyachal lechavos, it could be burned. And like Dr. Pinchas explained, that when the blood vessel is burned, it's sealed shut. It's cauterized. Is that what it's called medically? Cauterization. I know sometimes people have nosebleeds. So they say, okay, well, you know, the way they treat it is sometimes they cauterize, you know. I guess that's the most innocuous type of cauterization, you know.
Well,
so
that's pressure. You can stop a bleed from pressure. That means you can take a belt and let's say somebody's leg got cut off and they're just bleeding out of their leg.
So you wrap it up. You wrap it.
Wrap it tight, and it creates pressure, and then it stops bleeding.
I mean, we brought that up, you know, with the guy in the tzitzis. The guy took off his tzitzis too, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, somebody has repeated nosebleeds. The doctor says, okay, you know, I guess as a last resort, they could... Okay. So that's the opinion of Shmuel Elazar. Afal amagud ein meidim neshiach lechavis v'lechyais. Says the Gemara, umimotzi lokmik for Shmuel Elazar. Can you establish our mission like Shmuel Elazar? But in subsequent Mishnayis, Vaktani Sevet says later on, this is Kuf Chaf Aleph Omen Aleph, Masa ba'asya, the story happened in Asya. Be'echad sheluhu liyam. Somebody was lowered into the sea. V'lay also bi'odam el-aragda. The only thing they found of the guy was his leg. Okay? I don't know. I think that leg may have ended up in your office there. But the guy went swimming and we only found his leg. So the question is, the guy alive? The rest of him is somewhere else. Is the rest of him alive or is the rest of him dead? So, v'amru chachamim, min arkubu l'mala tinase. If what's the leg got cut above the knee, the woman could get married, because there's no way he survived a severed leg above the knee. Min arkubu l'mata, if it's below the knee, lo tinase, he can't get married, because he could survive. Now, if Rav Shimon Elazar subscribes to cauterization, then you should be able to cauterize above the knee. Now, medically, can somebody survive if his leg was cut above the knee? Can that be cauterized or not?
I'm sorry, I was distracted for a second.
Can someone who has their leg cut above the knee, the train...
So two things. Is above the knee is a very big artery. It's called the femoral artery. If that gets cut, it's very hard to even cauterize that.
Why it's so big?
The diameter of it's a tube, so the diameter of the tube is very large.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not easy. It's much harder to cauterize that.
Well, the Gemara is assuming that if we're going to say Rav Shimon Elazar agrees that someone with a mortal fatal wound could be cauterized, it should apply even if it's cut above the knee. Right?
Right, that's what the Gemara assumes.
Yeah, that's what the Gemara assumes, yeah. I mean, if you have a good... It sounds like if you have a good vascular surgeon, he should be able to save somebody. I mean, look, there are people who have legs amputated above the knee, right?
Right, but there... The nafkamina there is... it when they get to the vessel, they tie it off, and then they cut it distal to it, so that the bleeding just stops right where they tied it. So that's the above the knee, but they do it more often in vascular surgery where they do a bypass. If somebody, let's say, has a blockage in the vessel in their leg, they'll cut the vessel in two parts and they'll bypass it.
Mm-hmm.
Blockages. But it's much harder to do it above the knee in a traumatic situation that the Gemara is not in a surgery.
Right. Now the Gemara says something. You'll tell me what about that. Well, even if you could cauterize, but not if it gets wet. Shani maya de marzumaka. Water is different. It aggravates the wound. Now, is that medically consistent?
Yes. So let's say somebody in the operating room, I had to cauterize something and it stops bleeding, and then let's say I wanted to rinse out the area afterwards. Whatever, I put in a screw and there's some, like, maybe a little fragment of metal and I want to rinse it out. So many times the cauterization will have gotten lost in that rinse. It will remove the clot that was created mm-hmm. in the vessel, and you may have to re-cauterize it or...
So what, it softens the hardness of the seal?
But that's right, but that it softens the hardness of the seal, but in the case of the Gemara where somebody fell into the water, I'm assuming... Like
it doesn't cauterize to begin with. No.
I'm assuming a shark bit off his leg.
Right, no, but it sounds like he could have been medically or maybe the trauma of the wound may have somehow sealed it. But the Gemara says that's not, the possibility of survival is not likely in the water. Says the Gemara, Va'amar Rabbi Bar Chana, who had many travels and journeys, he says, L'didi chazi ahu taya, I saw an Arab, deshakal safsira, he took a knife, a sword, v'gai de legamle, and he chopped off the leg of his camel. V'loi afsik de lena'aruse, and the camel did not stop his moan until he died. Meaning he died immediately. So we see... that a wound on the leg, even in a dry desert, it's going to kill the camel. So kill the camel, it will kill the man. Says Gemara, Amar Abaye, Hahi Kechisha Havya. It was a shvacha camel, but a healthy guy could survive. Rava Amar, Rava says a completely different answer. You know what Rava's answer is? Rava says, Rava Amar, Besakin Milvenis V'Divrei HaKoel. The Gemara had a kasha that the Mishnah implies you could survive a Meguyad. The Gemara says, but there's a Mishnah in Oyalais that says that someone who's Meguyad will definitely not live. So the Gemara said, Ein Echanami, someone who's Meguyad will not live. Someone who's Meguyad will not live. However, here we're talking about in our Mishnah where the guy was Meguyad with a blazing hot knife. A blazing hot knife, while it will sever, will simultaneously cauterize. So that's why you have to, everyone would agree, you can't testify the guy died because it's likely that he didn't die from such a wound. Yeah. It's interesting, there's a Gemara in Chulin Dav Zayin that Gemara is a shayla, if you shecht with a blazing hot knife, is it good? What comes first, the death or the tarfas? Meaning, the blazing hot knife will burn the simanim, but what comes first, the shechita or the terefa? There the Gemara is assuming that the burn of the trachea and the esophagus will kill the animal. I guess there's no cauterization when you chop off someone's head. You know, it's not going to help. Even if it's cauterized, you still need to be attached to a head. Okay. The Gemara continues. V'hachayo eichalas. The Gemara says, you see, you see a bear eating someone, you can't testify they died. That's only if the bear is not eating the guy's head or heart or intestines, vital organ. If he's eating the guy something critical, then you could testify. I asked the Gemara, if someone had two of his simanim, trachea and esophagus, or a majority of both of them, ubarach, and then the guy who was shechted ran away, and you don't know where he went, me'idin, you could testify. Meaning, this shows that if someone shechted a vital organ, you have to assume the guy died. Any, but the Gemara is not so. Of Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel shachat by shnayim by roiv shnayim. Let's say someone shechted two simanim or the majority of two. V'ramaz, and in such a state, he hinted. V'amar, you know what? Kisvu get lish, you write a get for my wife. Hare elu yichtavu, they could write a v'yidnu. So we see that the guy is treated as if he's alive, because if he's considered like he's dead, then we wouldn't write a get and give it. So the Gemara says, look, right now he's alive, but we know for sure he will die. Chayhu v'soifei lamos. So right now the Gemara is saying that somebody who has two of a simanim, shechted or majority shechted, is considered alive and we assume he will die. Says Gemara, Elamayata, Yehei Goyla al Yadai. If that's the case, then someone who, Bishoigeg, shechs the simanim of someone else, should go into Galos. Elamayata, Yehei Goyla al Yadai. Alamatani, why do we learn in Hebrew? So, Shachat Shnaim, Aruv Shnaim. Hareza Eino Goyla, because we don't know, maybe the reason he died is for some other cause. Says Gemara, like this, Ha'idmar Allah. We learned about this, Amra Voshia. Einachanami, someone who has the majority of a simanim shechted, we know for sure he's going to die. But you still don't go into galus if you did that to someone else b'shoigeg, because chashinan shema haruach bilbaltai. We're concerned, maybe the wind confounded him. So in other words, you definitely caused 99% of his death, but the wind may have knocked him off complete the final 1%. And even though if you would have done it b'mezid, you for sure would have been considered a murderer. But you're exempt from galus, because you're only chayav galus if the wound that you inflicted b'shogeg did 100%. So if you would have done it intentionally, you would have been chayav misa. But since you did it unintentionally, the fact that it wasn't your sole responsibility means that you don't go into galus. Inami, or Shema Ihu Kirev Misasai. Maybe he himself brought his own death sooner by shaking and being mefarkes, by just moving around. So again, if you would have done a Pemezid, you would have been a murderer. But since you did a Peshogi, you don't go into Gaz. So Gemara says, what's the nafkamina, what we're concerned about? Whether the wind or moving around. Says Gemara, deshachte bebeis deshisha, if you shachted someone in a marble house. So there's no wind, but the guy was moving around. Upirkes, and he was moving. Inami deshachte bebar, you shachted him outside, so there's wind, v'loi pirkes, and he wasn't moving around. So the bottom line is, interestingly, that someone who has two simanim, or the majority of the simanim shachted, does not, you could testify that they died. They have no way to survive. On the other hand, someone who does b'shoigeg will not go into galus because there are other factors that may contribute to his death, and that is enough to exempt you from galus. Okay, Bez Hashem, next week, I have to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm away from Wednesday and on, so I may give the Wednesday night shiur Tuesday, which leaves me only Monday to give the Ion shiur. I mean, to give the Daf Hashavuos Sunday, I'm speaking somewhere, so I might have to do Sunday and Monday. Sunday afternoon and Monday. We'll be B'Kasher, okay? And then the following week, we should be good. Okay, everyone. Kol tov. Bracha v'hatzlacha. Have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you,
Rav. Thank you,
thank you. And thank you, Dr. Phil.
Shkoyach. Yeah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.